When she was 18, her father gave her the advice she needed to follow her dreams and become a writer. The next day, he had a heart attack and died in her arms. She did become a writer and a business owner and then a wife and mother. Today, after 13 books, a million of them in print, she's an award-winning syndicated columnist, a radio and TV host, and the owner of two successful companies. And now, Elise is here to help you rebuild your life. Stay tuned. This is gonna be good. This is the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours.
Good morning, everybody, or I should say good afternoon. It is 12:07 on the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. Delighted to be with you, even though it's for a short, just 1 hour today because of our football special. But football is coming up, and you know what's next, what is this week, not next week, because next weekend it'll all be over. It's Carathon. I can't believe it, but it's time for WSB's annual Carathon, where we raise money to help support and cure, hopefully, children with cancer and blood disorders from the Aflac Cancer Center and Blood Disorder Service. We're so excited to do it. It's Thursday and Friday. I will be in the call center all afternoon on Thursday, all afternoon on Friday, and then Thursday night doing a special two-hour show. This year, Walter Reeves is on vacation, so Mark Arum and I, who you just heard, on our baseball special, Mark and I will be getting together to hang out and talk. I don't know what we're going to talk about. I don't think Mark's built any outhouses lately, so we're certainly not going to talk about that. That's a very much a Walter Reeves thing, for those of you who have been listening all these years. Anyway, they're my two favorite days, and I hope you'll support us again. We've got some great stuff coming up for Thursday night for our show. All kinds of other amazing things that are going to be going on all day, starting Thursday morning, continuing through Friday at 6 o'clock. So we hope you'll tune in for that. Very exciting stuff. Lines are open now. A couple of things I want to talk about. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Nobody's on the phone now. So if you've been dying to give me a call, this is the day to do it. Lines are open. I still think we have a whole bunch of people thinking about baseball, but instead I want you to think about your money and about housing and what's going on there. You can also follow me on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. I want to start with what I did yesterday, which was to be the keynote speaker at a real estate investing conference in Chicago. It was in Schaumburg. It's called REIX, and they do four shows a year, four conferences a year. The next one is coming up in November in Anaheim, and then there's one in Hawaii, which I really want to get invited to. But the folks behind this are an interesting group, and they asked me to talk about what's going on with the economy, kind of what I do for you all week. And I think I was thinking about this because we had some new numbers come out about new home sales this week, and it made me really concerned about where the economy is going. And so I ran through, as I developed this PowerPoint, maybe I'll put it up on LinkedIn. I have to figure out how to do that. But there's, you know, when you look at where the numbers are, where they came out this week, there's a huge concern that I have about where the economy is going to turn out to be for the second quarter. So let's rewind a little bit. The first quarter numbers, after the third revision came in at a shocking GDP down almost 3% on an annualized basis. It's a huge drop, and biggest drop in 5 or 6 years. And then in April, so if you look at the new home numbers, right, we had been running at 2013. I'm looking at the numbers now. We were running in May and June were 40,000, 43,000 new homes sold. This is over the whole country. And then we dropped into the low 30s. In July, we were at 33, August 31,000, September 31,000, October 36,000, November and December 32 and 31,000. And so we started in January 33,000, 35,000 for February, 39,000 for March, 40,000 for April, 49,000. Everybody was saying, wow, number housing is really coming back, new homes coming back. And what happened in June? down 11.5% year over year. We only sold about 33,000, maybe 34,000 new homes. We dropped from a sales rate of 49,000 new homes sold in May to 34,000 in June. That is a huge drop. And so for the first half of this year, we've only sold in this country, I mean, this is kind of shocking, about 229,000 homes. Call it 230,000 homes. Well, the projected sales now for 2014 are about 450,000 new homes, not 500,000 or 600,000, which, by the way, would still be down. A normal sales year is about 1 million homes. We should be selling 1 million new homes in this country every year. We're on track to sell half of that. The normal housing start should be 1.5 million. We're about a third, two-thirds of that. And so when I think about the economy and what this means, it's a little bit distressing. Now, speaking of distressing, the distressed real estate sales nationally are doing okay. Nationally, distressed housing, and that includes short sales, foreclosures, homes sold under pressure, that's about 14.3% of total sales. A year ago, it was almost 16% of total sales. So we're moving in the right direction. Distressed sales should be a very small part of the home sale market. And the overall number from the National Association of Realtors, you know, is still looking okay. But, you know, we're just not quite getting liftoff, right? We're just not quite getting liftoff where we need to be. And when I look at numbers, I think that's a real concern. Now, from a real estate investor's perspective, that's great, because when you don't really have liftoff and you've got mortgage interest rates that are still just for 30-year rates, we're at about 4.13%. We're at 3.26% for a 15-year loan, that from Freddie Mac this week. So mortgage interest rates are near 50-year historic lows. That's amazing. And we're still not seeing the kind of push from home buyers that you would normally want to see. And so for investors, this just means there's a bigger pot of renters out there and more need for somebody else to own the property that somebody else is going to rent. It's really very interesting. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Michael joins me on the line. Hey, Michael, what do you think about this?
Well, I'd like to have a little dialogue with you. I know sometimes it's difficult because you start talking and then the host will cut you off.
You know, I reserve the right to cut everybody off, but what do you have in mind today?
Okay, a couple of things. Well, I think part of what you're talking about with the why so low, I think that we have a higher unemployment rate than...
Hey, Michael, you're breaking up, so I'm only hearing every other word.
Is that better?
That is better. Thank you.
I have a new smartphone and it's smarter than me.
Yeah, maybe it's not so smart, but go ahead.
Okay. So basically what happens, I think we have a much higher unemployment rate if you look at labor participation. So we have a much higher unemployment rate. I think that's a factor. I also think that there is inflation. I know the markets don't, the way it's calculated, they don't factor in food and energy because, of course, nobody eats and nobody uses energy. So why factor those into inflation?
I don't know why. I agree completely.
I mean, it's absurd. So, I mean, real inflation is definitely not, the low 1% or 1.5%. I'm sure you realize what you're paying. A dozen eggs is $2, okay? 5 years ago, it was 50 cents. I think that's called inflation. So last time I checked.
Okay, I haven't paid 50 cents for a dozen eggs. It may be since I was a teenager. So,
they were 50 cents a dozen in Eatonton 5 years ago.
Well, maybe you, not where I live, but okay. That's what you're paying. If you're seeing that differential, let's just go with what's going on in your world.
Okay, absolutely. You know, in gas, what was it 8 years ago, $1 a gallon, and now it's $3 plus. So, you know, all these things affect, I think, the market, and I think it affects the housing market. And the reality, again, labor participation is very low right now. But the question I want to ask you is looking at the printing of the dollars, that the Fed prints these dollars, and we've printed some $1 or 2 trillion since the Fed started printing money.
Yeah, it's mortgage-backed security program to artificially lower interest rates.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So so we look at that, and how does that, my question to you is, when you look at investing long term, how does that affect? And let me just make one comment before you answer.
How does that affect what?
Any type of investing, when you look at the fact that we're printing dollars and the value of the dollar is shrinking.
Okay. So okay. Is that the question?
Well, yeah, and one thing I want to ask you is about buying gold. And when you look at gold in 1972, when we went off the gold standard, it was $35 an ounce, and then we went off the gold standard and people were able to buy gold, and gold ran up to $175 an ounce, then it came down to about $100 and people said it was over. Then in 84 it ran up to $800, and then it came back down to about $300 for about 20 years and people said it was over. Then it went up to $1,900 an ounce, and now it's $1,300 and people think the run on gold is over. But I don't think it's so much a run on gold. I think it's just the value of the dollar. When you look at the deficit, look at the dollars we're printing, do we really have real money anymore? You know, I've heard the term fiat currency, and I wanted to know what your feelings were on that.
Okay, so let me first address the fact that I'm about to hit a commercial break, so I'm going to put you on hold because we have to go to a commercial break, and then I'm going to answer your question when we come back, all right? I just want to, because I know that you started this by saying that people get cut off all the time, but I have realities of this radio station that I have to live and die by.
No, I understand.
And one of them is a commercial break that comes up right at the 18 minutes past the hour. But you hang on, and we will continue this conversation when we come back, because I think there's some interesting things to talk about with how money is printed and what the effect is from the Fed. And you know, really what we've done is bring down the cost of equities to a place where they've just become so insanely cheap, there's nowhere else to put your money, and so everybody's just bought up the stock market. And so I do have some thoughts about that. So stay tuned. I'm Elise Klink, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
It's 1224 on the Elise Klink Show, Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB, the number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I was hanging with Michael just before we went to the break, and he said that he feels that there's really a higher unemployment rate. There's the inflation, the way it's calculated. He said he doesn't think it doesn't factor in food and energy, and real inflation is far above that. And he wants to know what I think of gold and what I think of the Fed printing all these dollars. And I think that you have to, Michael, sort of look at what the Fed was trying to do with what we're all trying to do, right? The Fed is trying to do what it can to stimulate the economy. And the way it sees its ability, which is a very limited scope, right? There's just a limited amount of things that the Fed can do. What it's trying to do is stimulate the economy. So the most simple way to explain it is, if interest rates go down, businesses will borrow money and they will invest in their companies, and then they will hire more workers and people will have more money and blah, blah, blah. And so that's kind of the thinking that they were following. And the problem is that ran smack up against the real world. And the real world has, to your point, still very high true unemployment. And for the people who have gotten jobs, as we've heard, we hear week in and week out on the show. I mean, I can't even think of a week where someone hasn't called in and said, I was making a whole lot more before the Great Recession hit, and I was unemployed, and I used up some of my money, and now I've got a new job, but it pays half or a third or two-thirds of what my last job paid. And when you have people who are unemployed, and in the U6, which is the broader measure of unemployment, it's the one that I think is more accurate, what you're seeing is the growth of a part-time economy. And we've seen a lot of stories in the paper from billionaires who really shouldn't be talking about people working 40 hours a week. But the vision is that we have now this part-time, independent, 1099 contractor economy where people are either, you know, working half-time or working full-time, but there's more costs involved to them. And so the bottom line is that people who are getting jobs, sure, but they're getting jobs that pay less, that enable them to spend less. And if you're not spending, you're not buying. And that's really where we are. People aren't buying. They're not spending the kind of money that they were. And it's causing concern, a ripple throughout the economy, really a ripple of concern. And so when I think about what the Fed has done, I think that the idea of printing that money and bringing down the interest rate was smart. But like you, I think true inflation is actually higher than stated. And I think that it doesn't really even matter because as costs go up, people just have less money to spend. As far as gold being $1,300 and people think it's over, gold will never be over as long as people think they're going to make money from it. It's a commodity like anything else. Whether it's going to go to $2,700 or stay where it is and go down to $900, I have no idea. Seriously, my crystal ball is cracked. Thanks so much for your call. We're going to take more calls coming up in a moment. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Klink, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
Welcome back to the Elise Klink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, online on Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. I'm only on for another half hour today. We had a short show. Be back for a regular show on Sunday. But, of course, in the meantime, we've got Carathon, which is so exciting. So I'll be on Thursday night and hope you tune in for that in the call center Thursday afternoon and Friday afternoon. So it's all good. Let's go to the phones, 404-872-0750. We've got a couple of lines open. I want to make sure I can get your calls in today. Jerry joins me on the line. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
That is fantastic. What can I do for you today?
I'm going to move purchasing my parents' house. My parents hit that lovely retirement age, and they moved out to a retirement home on a lake in Alabama, and they didn't need this house no more. And me and my wife are starting a family. We got a family, and we're purchasing their house. But one of the questions, and the loan proceeds, everything's going fine with that, but they asked about the gift of equity, if my parents would be willing to do that. But I tried asking questions. I'm not kind of understanding how that works. My mom's not really certain how that works, and I'm really concerned about maybe the tax implications on it, and I want to make sure my parents get what they want of a house.
Okay, so let's start with how much the house is worth.
That's a good question. The fair market value, I'm probably going to say, is about 120 to 25.
Okay, and how much equity does the mortgage lender suggest that you get?
She didn't say.
Okay, so there's a couple of ways that you could do this. Your parents can give you and anybody, I think it's $14,000, $14,500 tax-free every year. So your dad could give you $14,500 and your wife $14,500. And then your mother could give each of you that, right?
Okay.
So you'd almost get to half and need just half the amount of, you know, a mortgage for maybe $60,000, $70,000 a year. Another way to do that, and there would be no tax implications at all for that. You just have to have the right kind of letter so that that would happen. The other thing that you could do is you could just buy this house directly from your parents and get a real estate lawyer to set up a loan, right? Your parents own this house free and clear.
No, they got about 7 years left to pay on it.
7 years left of the mortgage. And do you and your wife have any cash?
Yes, we have some, yes.
Do you have enough to pay off their mortgage?
That we don't have, no, okay. Not that much.
So what you could do is you could buy this, the real estate lawyer could help you buy this house from your parents over the next 7 years and use an installment loan. And that means that over the 7 years, 1/7 of the house basically would transfer over to you and your wife. And in the meantime, you would make payments based on the mortgage amount for, let's say, an 80% loan, right? So there would be a gift, quote unquote, a gift of the 20% equity. But it
right.
could be a 90% mortgage, right? You would start to make those payments. Your parents would be able to pay off the loan that they have. Using the payments, and then once the loan is clear, you own the house, you can go out and get financing or continue the financing from them. So I think instead of going to a traditional lender right now, what you may want to do is keep the money all in the family and have a lawyer draw up the paperwork that helps you buy this loan, buy this house from your parents over time. And then if you needed to get more of a loan, you could, but it seems to me that this way the money all stays in the family.
Right.
And that's actually not a bad way to do it. It's a pretty darn smart way to do it. And your parents are going to be in retirement. They're going to be getting more income than they could have, you know, than they would have gotten any other way, right? Because you're going to be paying them 4 or 5% on their money, and in the bank they would be getting nothing, maybe 0.5%. So for them, they're getting a better deal, and you're getting a better deal. And then if they want to give you some of the equity, they can over time. They can forgive the last, you know, they can just at year six, they can transfer the ownership of the house, and then you're going to have it. And if you want at that point in time, you can continue, do a new mortgage or continue the mortgage with them. You can go out and refinance, and they can have a lump sum. So I would talk to a real estate attorney about your options, one who's really familiar with loans, and then you and your parents should sit down and have an honest conversation about money, what they need, what they want to do, have them meet the lawyer, and then you can draft up a partnership agreement and a purchase agreement. You probably need both. Mostly what you need is an installment purchase agreement. But you can draw up the documents that you need in order to transfer the house in a way that makes economic sense for you and your parents.
Yeah, that makes a little more sense now.
All right.
Awesome. I really appreciate your time.
You're very welcome. Good luck. Let me know how it goes, all right? It's 42 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK and WSB for, will pay for the price of the call. Mark joins me on the line from Brazelton. Hi, Mark.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm having a good afternoon. What about you?
I'm doing well. Have both a traditional IRA and a Roth.
Uh-huh.
And a 401k from a job I just recently left.
Okay.
When I'd like to roll it over because it's in an underperforming, say, regional bank has been managing it.
Yep.
And it's just not done very well.
And that's saying a lot given the how much the stock market has increased over the last 6-7 years.
Particularly. When I roll it over, and my traditional and my Roth are in Fidelity,
mm-hmm.
does it become a third vehicle, or does it blend into one of the two?
You can roll it over into an existing IRA that you own at Fidelity. So you can have one IRA that all of these 401ks from over the years, if you had 10 401ks, you could roll them all into the same IRA. You just have to make sure you do the trustee-to-trustee transfer.
Right.
So that they don't withhold taxes.
And would they would go into the traditional?
It would just go into your traditional IRA,
okay.
Right, which is, it's not a self-directed IRA, which allows you to do other kinds of investments. It's just an IRA where you control the investment mix between stocks, bonds, cash, and other equities.
And at age, I'm 54. At this point, as I make contributions to either, would you say I should make them more heavily towards the Roth than the traditional?
So that's sort of interesting. So your 401k money rolls over to a qualified IRA, which is tax-deductible, tax-deferred. The Roth is after-tax money. So if you're going forward, do you already have another job?
Yes.
Okay. So if you continue to qualify for the Roth and a 401k in your new job, like, I would do both, because you're 54 and every dollar you're going to want to have in another, say, 10 years, right?
Right.
So I would probably push you to do both the Roth with the catch-up, Matt, which allows you to put in, I think, $6,000 this year, and then the 401k, which should be another $17,500. If you can afford all that, that's amazing. If not, I think I'd probably put into the 401k whatever you need to do to get a match if you get one. And for the Roth, then I would put everything else in because I think it gives you more flexibility down the line.
Very good.
So that's probably where I would go. Now, if you feel like you are overpaying in taxes right now, I might push you to do more into the 401k because it's tax-deductible, tax-deferred for now. So some of this has to do with how much income you think you're going to have in retirement and what tax bracket you'll be in. And I don't actually know where all the tax brackets are going to be. Nobody does. But sure, if you were, say, in the 35% tax bracket today, and in retirement you might be in a 25% tax bracket, you'd want to do the 401k money because down the line when you take it out, that money will be cheaper for you. You'll pay less in taxes on it. Does that make sense?
Yes, it did.
So I think that's what I would do. How are you feeling about your new job? Do you feel like this is a place you could stay for the next 10 years?
Yes.
That's kind of nice, isn't it?
Yeah, well, particularly after the one I left. Yeah, it's really kind of nice.
It's sort of interesting how people are getting to, when you get into your 40s and 50s, you're looking for a place to just kind of stay and make it work. And when you're in your 20s, you know, it's really like a new job every 18 months to 2 years. It seems like you're just kind of growing and growing and growing and moving and trying to change around. And then you get to be a little bit older, and what you want is the stability. Just interesting how that works. Thanks so much for your call, Mark. Good luck with your job, and good luck with the rollover. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We have a couple minutes left to do some calls, so I'm going to let those come in. I see the lines ringing. One thing that came up out of my research for this real estate investing seminar yesterday, REIX, where I gave the keynote speech, I spent some time talking about new research from the National Association of Realtors about the best housing markets for millennial buyers. And it's kind of interesting what millennial buyers are looking for. And when you look at the best housing markets, and I mean, these are the ones for buyers, but I think it's true for renters as well. The top 10 were Austin, Dallas, Denver, Des Moines, Grand Rapids, which is interesting, Minneapolis, New Orleans, Ogden, Utah, Salt Lake City, Seattle. And then the next five were Madison, Nashville, Omaha, Raleigh, and D.C. So what do these markets have in common? They are generally strong university campuses. They're smaller communities. They're mostly non-coastal, except for D.C. and Seattle. They're tech hubs. They're less expensive. They're easily accessible by airplane and other kinds of transportation, and they have strong internal public transportation systems. And if you look at what millennial buyers and renters are interested in, they're interested in green, walking or biking to work. They're interested in high-tech communities. They want flexibility, right? And so when you look at these kinds of characteristics of millennial buyers and the kinds of communities that they prefer, and you're a real estate investor, it's really smart to keep it in mind because you may be dealing with them or you may be dealing with their parents who are at the other end of the scale, whose kids are now off and out on their own, and they're now downsizing or looking for something else entirely. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB.
News 95.5 and AM 750, WSB.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on WSB, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. All good stuff for that. Be sure to pick up your AJC. We didn't actually do our prize pack, and I think we have a prize pack today. You know, I'm all sort of off track here because we were, because we had only the 1 hour. Normally we do that prize pack. So why don't we do that now? Andrew, can you, I'm going to gear this up. Why don't you keep the music going? So let me get to that prize pack. It is a pair of tickets to see Dave Koz and Friends in Concert on August 16th at Chastain Park Amphitheater, produced by ASO Presents, and a Kroger $25 gift certificate, and a pair of tickets to see Jennifer Nettles in Concert on August 31st, Chastain Park Amphitheater, produced by Live Nation. The prize pack value is $185. We're going to give it away to the fifth caller. Be nice to Crystal. She's going to pick up your call. The number for the prize pack, 404-741-0750. 404-741-0750. Good luck. All right. Thank you, Andrew. Couple of notes coming up this week. Carathon! I'm so excited. It's always my favorite. You can already start donating. I think they had a double your donation going on. I read that somewhere on the WSB Radio website, WSBRadio.com. You're going to be able to participate throughout the day on Thursday and then Friday until 6 o'clock. And I will come back on Sunday, as usual. I'm going to be on a lot on Thursday and Friday. As you know, these are my two all-time favorite days. I mean, I just absolutely love Carathon. And the reason I love it is because we do such amazing work at the Aflac Cancer Center and Blood Disorder Service. I mean, when we started this, I think it's like 15, 16 years ago. Gosh, maybe it's even longer than that. When we started Carathon, we would say on the air, Clark and I, that 75% of kids who come in for treatment would walk over to CHOA, would be able to walk out. And now that number is like 85%. So in these years that we've been able to donate $15 million, and I'm not saying it's just to this. There's a lot of other people who donate a lot of other money, and they do amazing work. But we're really seeing, over the benefit of time, how many more kids are going home. And the reason that we all get such a jolt out of Carathon is that we all feel like we're able to contribute. And so every year we go on the air, Clark and Scott Slade, who started this whole wacky thing, and Neil Bortz and I, and everybody, Herman Cain, you know, participates. We all participate. Mark Arum, all of your favorite WSB talk show hosts are going to be there Thursday and Friday, offering up all different kinds of wonderful things, opportunities to connect, opportunities to help, and we hope that you will step up like you always do and help us cure cancer in kids. Because seriously, when one of those kids gets to go home, it's an amazing day for everybody. So Thursday, we start at like 6 a.m. Hope you'll join us. I'll be in the call center Thursday afternoon, Friday afternoon, and then Thursday night, I'll be doing a special show live from WSB, and you can call in for that as well. In the meantime, find me on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter. All good things coming to you this week on WSB. All right, have a great week, everybody, and I will be back on Thursday for Carathon.